Ukshepanam. The kicking. Garbhagatasya.
Can we get the microphone set up?
Of a child in the womb. Padayoho. Of the legs. Kim. What? Kalpate. Amounts to. Matuhu. For the mother. Adhokshaja. O transcendental Lord. Agase. As an offense. Kim. What? Asti. It exists. Not asti. It does not exist. Vyapadesha. By the designations. Bhushita. Decorated. Tova. Your. Asti. There is. Pukshe. Of the abdomen. Piyat. How much? Api. Even. Antaha. External. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord Adhokshaja, does a mother take offense when the child within her womb kicks with his legs? And is there anything in existence, whether designated by various philosophers as real or as unreal, that is actually outside your abdomen? Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows on this verse in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Volume 1, Chapter 14. Lord Brahma therefore compared himself to a little child within the womb of his mother. If the child within the womb plays with his hands and legs, and while playing touches the body of the mother, is the mother offended with this child? Of course, she isn't. Similarly, Lord Brahma may be a very great personality, yet not only Brahma, but everything that exists is within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's energy is all-pervading. There is no place in the creation where it is not acting. Everything is existing within the energy of the Lord. So the Brahma of this universe, or the Brahmas of the many other millions and trillions of universes, are existing within the energy of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is considered to be the mother, and everything existing within the womb of the mother is considered to be the child. And the good mother is never offended with the child, even if he touches the body of the mother by kicking his legs. It's an offense to kick anybody with your legs. This is Vedic culture. To even point your leg at somebody, your foot at somebody, is disrespectful. But the child is excused, especially before it's born. It's in the womb. So, you know, nobody has taught it any culture. A small child, 2 or 3 years old, the parents, the mother especially, begins to teach them a few principles of behavior and gives them a slap or two when he doesn't learn properly. But what can you expect to know before you're born? So the mother excuses, has to. She may feel great discomfort. The child is kicking from inside. Men will never know that experience. The women who have children, they know it is not so comfortable experience to bear the child in the womb. And as the pregnancy reaches its end, it can be more uncomfortable. But the mother tolerates. And after birth, at birth there's so much pain. After birth, there's so much trouble raising the child. Especially the infant is totally helpless and demanding everything and screaming and yelling and defecating all over the place. So the infant is difficult to take care of. And a child is difficult in other ways. So the mother has to tolerate so much, but that is her nature and her responsibility. So here, Brahma is not comparing. He's saying Krishna is the mother. This is not a comparison. This is an identification. And Krishna is literally everybody's mother. How can the same person be the father and the mother, and the creator, and the guru, and the friend, and the husband, but Krishna literally, not just poetically, literally Krishna is all these things. By definition, soul. Well, okay, I'm a soul. And I'm the soul of my body. But what do we mean, Krishna's soul of everything? Well, he's God, okay, but why say he's the soul of everything? We're souls. God's not a soul like us. But what is the definition of a soul? Is a conscious being who claims ownership of a body, some chunk of matter, and has consciousness of that chunk of matter, something by nervous system or some extension of his consciousness. He is aware of, more or less aware, of what's going on in that body. He feels the pleasure and pain in his own body. And he has some control over it. So consciousness, control, possession of a body of some sort or other. That's what it means to be a soul. So that's a scientific definition. God is, by that definition, by the ordinary definition of what a soul is, he's the supreme soul. Because what's his body then? Everything that exists. All of his energy, spiritual, marginal, and material, it all comprises the body of God. This idea was developed by Ramanujacharya in his writings. Everything that exists, all the energies, make up the body of God, and he's the soul of it. So that is the way in which he is supreme soul. Literally. And he's also the supreme mother by the ordinary definition of what is a mother. Mother, what is mother? What is a mother's function? Well, she conceives a child in her womb. She provides the egg. The father just provides one cell, living cell, the sperm. It's just one cell. All the other cells had to be provided by the mother. Those cells, okay, the cells divide and make themselves more. But in order to do that, they need organic matter. Cells can divide themselves, but to grow, they need food. So all that food, all that nourishment, all that those minerals and proteins are being taken from the mother. She provides the ingredients, the organic ingredients, for the development of the body of the child. From the moment of conception up to birth, which is, for a human being, 9 months. So great debt is owed to the mother. The mother has actually provided your body, which you prize so much, and you depend on so much, and you identify with. Your mother gave you that body. And even after your birth, your mother fed you and taught you how to be a human being and how to be a member of your society. According to the culture of your particular community, your mother, and to some degree your father, taught you. And then you had other teachers later on. So this is mother. The conceiver, the giver of the actual ingredients of your existence, The person who brings you into this world with great pain, and the person who brings you up, who trains you up in the beginning, your first teacher. This is mother. So, by that definition of mother, Krishna, Lord Vishnu is the supreme mother, literally. Because all the ingredients of our bodily existence come from him, as described in the Purusha Sukta. The first sacrifice was to be performed by the demigods headed by Brahma. They couldn't find any paraphernalia. They couldn't go to Loy Bazaar and buy the ghee and, you know, buy the things they needed. They weren't available. The universe hadn't been created yet. So nothing was available. They had to take the ingredients for the first sacrifice out of the body of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And then all the worlds, and the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and all the species of life, the animals with both cloven hooves and uncloven hooves, all appeared. The four-legged animals and the two-legged animals all appeared from the body of Vishnu. So, if that's not mother, what is? He provided the bodies. He gave the birth, literally. He brought them up from the beginning of their life, gave them the sustenance by which to live, and taught them as their first teacher. Tene Brahma Vidaya Adi Kavaye. In the beginning of creation, the educational system of the universe was established by Lord Garbhodakshay Vishnu by giving instructions of the Vedas to Lord Brahma, Adi Kavi, within the heart. So he's the first teacher. He's the mother of the universe and the mother of every individual. So Brahma is right. It's not just a poetic description. It is literally true. Krishna is his mother. Who else? He doesn't have another mother. So his father is also his mother, because he doesn't have a different mother. He wasn't born from a mother. He was born right out of his father. So his father is also his mother. And therefore, he should forgive. Lord Vishnu should forgive Brahma for kicking. Now, that's not literal. Brahma didn't come and kick. This is not Bhrigu Muni testing. You know, this is a different pastime. Bhrigu Muni kicked Vishnu, Narayan, but Brahma didn't do that. But he came and played games with Narayan, with Krishna. Tried to trick him. So that's poetic. He didn't literally kick him. But the mother has to tolerate. You're my mother, so therefore don't be angry at me, please. That's the message of this verse. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes.
It looks like as though he's reminding Krishna to be a good mother.
Don't be a bad mother.
Yeah. How do I understand this?
Well, okay, Brahma's afraid of being punished, so he's trying to protect himself. You're my mother, so please don't punish me too severely, please. It's a personal relationship. That means he's not too scared of Krishna. He's got a friendly relationship. This is, maybe we're just guessing, but Sakya Rasa seems to be Brahma's rasa. So he's got a friendly relationship. You know, Vishnu came and shook his hand. Not like we do in the West, but like the Indian politicians, they touched the tips. You know, so it was Kare Spishan, he touched his hand. He didn't give him five. He didn't do that. But that means friendship. So Brahma has not such a fearful relationship with the Lord. He can joke like this. He can say, you know, my mother, please don't spank me. But he's not too much in awe and reverence. He couldn't have to come down and play this game with Krishna. He must have a friendly relationship. So, therefore, the prayers of Brahma and the prayers of Indra are different. Indra is actually scared because he did do a real offense. He tried to kill Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan. And he offended Govardhan Hill. So, he's got something to really be afraid of, but Brahma doesn't. He's not so afraid. Okay?
Two questions. First one, And I'm trying to understand, like a mother, like a, understand the mentality of a woman, that she wants a child. Like this desire, I'm trying to understand the desire of a woman of wanting a child. Like more than the man, the woman
well,
wants it more.
Can you understand why you want to eat? Why? I mean, yeah, we can argue. Do you want to eat? And you could say, I definitely want to eat. That's an immediate experience, and I cannot philosophically deny it. I'll say, you're an eternal soul. You're not this body. Therefore, you shouldn't want to eat. You know, but you say, I do want to eat. You know, I don't care what you say. But then I ask you, why do you want to eat? That you can't answer. Then I got you stumped. You have an answer why you want to eat? No, that just means you want to eat. But why do you want to eat? Anyway, the thing is, it's just a built-in, it's built into your material organism. But how does it begin? Vyabhaya Amisha Madhya Seva. These desires for sinful activities, for intoxication, sex, meat eating, eating flesh. This is built into every conditioned soul. When you get a subtle body, you also get these desires. Unavoidable. It's built into the material organism. So what to speak of the basic necessities to want to eat? It's just there. And then for any female, she's got a procreative urge built into her. It's in the genes. And the ideas come in her head. She can't help it. It's just her genetic makeup. And it's in her, the hormones are flowing through her blood and she wants a child. Even though she's a devotee and she knows she's got more important things to do, still that maternal urge is nagging her. Now, being a woman, we don't have experience with that. But you do have experience of wanting to eat. It's like that. It's just a natural built-in urge.
Also, in this Purashukta that you, thank you very much for the answer. In your Purashukta in your Purashukta, you mentioned that there was that all the animals and all the birds, they come from Vishnu at the first time of the second Shodana. Okay. Then also.
That means not just the sacrificial ingredients, but everything. Some of those animals might get offered in sacrifice, but you don't offer all of them. You don't offer rabbits and porcupines in sacrifice. They're unofferable. But they were. They also came out of the body.
And then you have Brahma creating different species. Yes. And then you have Kashyapa Muni to one of his wife, and to his many wives, populating the universe with these different species. So how exactly does creation, like,
what's the question?
It takes place. That you have these different descriptions, like, okay, the animals, they come from Kashyapa.
Well, no,
Muni and his wife, and then Brahma creates the
animals. What comes out of Vishnu? See, Vishnu is the. It's through the universal form, the Virat Rupa, that the different species of life appear. The Virat Rupa appears as the navel of, out of his navel, the stem of the lotus flower that's growing out of his navel. That is the original Virat Rupa in the universe. And all those species are contained in seed form, in prototype form, like programs on a hard disk within the Virat Rupa. But that's coming from Vishnu. So it's indirectly, it's through the Virat Rupa that all the species of life manifest. Then Brahma, I don't know what he does exactly. He creates the species of life from the Virat Rupa, but it's the Prajapatis who actually beget the actual individuals. Brahma just arranges the...
Makes one prototype?
I don't know how to explain what he does, because there's the prototypes already exist in the Virat Rupa. And the individuals are going to be created later by the Prajapatis, you know, as actual children. Brahma doesn't have any children by sexual, you know, the first sex is with Swayambhuva Manu and his wife. And all the population actually come from him and the other Prajapatis. So Brahma is, let's say, manifesting. Like he's taking the program out of the, you know, he's running the program. He's typing in the instructions in the computer to run the program off the hard drive. You know, so he's the computer operator, the engineer. It's still the prototype. The individuals will be created later on. Although Brahma creates the first individuals. Those are the sages that are going to create the other individuals. They come out of his own body. And then he does the engineering. Then he pulls up a prototype out of the computer and works it up, you know, edits it and adds some details. But it's still the prototype he's working with. It's pure intellectual work. Brahma doesn't work with his hands. He doesn't even work at, you know, typing at a keyboard. He just works in his brain with his intelligence. He just figures everything out. That's his work. His work is purely intellectual. He just figures everything out the way it's going to be. He doesn't actually implement it.
So
he makes the plans.
So the Virat Rupa, is it Kavadakshayi Vishnu?
Virat Rupa is no, it isn't. Virat Rupa is grown out of the body of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. It's a material body. It's material. So material bodies are occupied by jivas. Brahma is the owner, the jiva who takes possession of the Virat Rupa. And Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is the super soul in that body. But there's a jiva soul in there too, and that's Brahma.
The Virat Rupa can be, in one sense, measured from, it's sprouting from the navel, basically. It's the navel.
Atyatishta Dasangalam, 10 thumbs of Vishnu. 10 this size of Vishnu. That's how big the Virat Rupa is. Atyatishta Dasangalam.
And also, in yesterday, in the verse, in the previous verse of Brahma, it says 5 spans.
Well, that's because thumb is seven, this size, and the span is twice as big as a thumb.
So it's seven.
5 of these or 10 of these?
Sorry, it was 7.
Seven. Okay, whatever. It comes out because it's just 2 different measurements. That's all. It's the same length.
And he was describing that was his body, that the universe was his body.
Well, see, 7 vitustis. Normal human being is 7 vitustis. You know, heads. So this is about the size of the head. See. So the head size or the vitusti size, a normal person is 7 heads. Demigods are 8 heads. They have more, you know, longer bodies. So Brahma has the original, the Virat Rupa also has a 7 head size or a 7 vitusti size body. That's just normal proportions of a human body.
So, and he was describing that's his measurement of 7 heads is the measurement of his of the universe, which is his body.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean that was said there also. But okay.
There's the inner size and the outer size. The Virat Rupa doesn't cover the whole universe exactly. If you're gonna measure it all the way to the outer shells, then you have to add more. There's more space. But in Vedic measurement, in the sacrificial measurements, there are different sized vitustis. There's a small vitusti and a big vitusti. And you measure things differently using those different measurements for different purposes, internal vitusti and external vitusti. So if you want to measure the entire universe, then you have to use a bigger ruler. Okay, anything else? Yeah, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.